Father in heaven, thank you for your salvation. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity of being together here to study and reflecting in this topic. Be with us and help us in the direction of your grace, salvation, and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you a little bit of the background of the presentation that we are going to be sharing with you. By the way, this is a copy of one chapter of the book. If you want the book, you can get it in the ABC, but I am sharing that for free because it's regarding the 10th fundamental belief, that is salvation. And of course, this is an essential, I will say, part regarding our fundamental teachings and doctrines in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Justification by faith, by the way, is not only a fundamental belief in our church, it's a fundamental belief in other communities also. And this year, in the administration of the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventist Church, we were talking and thinking and sharing with the workers' retreat this year, in January this year, regarding justification by faith. So several of us were invited to share some things regarding justification by faith. And you know, every single person, welcome, every single person might have an angle regarding the topic. Yeah, you can share this. Every single person might have an angle regarding the topic of justification, you know. I'm not going to enter into the discussion here of comparative religions, because if you compare that, you are going to find out what is the position, for example, of Catholicism regarding justification by faith and several other movements. My strong emphasis with you guys today and in the following days is to go into what is justification by faith in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament. So what we are going to explore is the essence of the concept of emunah and pistis. Emunah is the concept of justification in the Old Testament, that's Hebrew, and pistis is the translation that was made before the New Testament regarding the concept of justification. And let me tell you, that is, if you like the topic and if you like to go deep into that, it's fascinating because you are going to discover several things. One is that sometimes our Bibles, I wouldn't say that are misguiding us, but they are in certain distance, conceptual distance, to give us the frame of the understanding of the topic of our faith, of emunah. Because emunah is a very deep meaning in, hello, welcome, is a very, very deep concept in the Hebrew mind. And you are going to search into the internet about that, and you are going to find out several things. So, what are my introductory words regarding justification by faith? Let me tell you that world religions, in one way or another, they are dealing with man looking for God and how man might be able to be saved. However, on the contrary, the Bible gives us the opposite vision. That is, God was in a relationship with God, and in the Bible, is telling us God looking for man to give him salvation. So that is something critical here. So the designing and creating the world and the universe and mankind and establishing man in a garden of Eden, you are going to find out in Genesis chapter 1. And looking for man and his creator across all the Bible is part of the concept that you are going to see coming from the Bible. So, in the Holy Rite, God is more than a creator of the heaven and earth and of the universe. He is also the lawgiver and the redeemer of human beings. So when you go, let me share with you several things that that you need to keep in mind here. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. Genesis Exodus 20:1-6. And God spake all these words, saying, when given them what he called my commandments. So he's given commandments. Creation, commandments, laws are part of the things that the Lord was giving to human beings. And one thing that impacted me several years ago, and sometimes in pastoral life, you are in situations that are, what I will say, critical and sometimes unexpected. For example, a suicide, a person killing himself. And I was asked to talk in the funeral service. And the people is expecting that you bring hope in those critical moments. And let me tell you that is very, very critical for you. What you are going to share, what you are going to say, how you are going to present the concept of salvation and in the feeling and welcome. Yes. But okay, we are going to justify you. Welcome. Just kidding, a little bit. So, how you are going to, what you are going to talk about that? Let me share with you something, because I don't know if you have sometimes looking for words and kind of biblical explanations about that, and how you are going to bring relief into the heart of a person under that kind of condition. You know, I was a Bible instructor in South Argentina, South America, and the district pastor was taking me to the funeral service and say, Daniel, I am in a critical situation because I need to speak in a following moment about this, and really, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this situation because family is telling me, welcome. Family is telling me that this person killed himself. What you are going to say? I don't know what you are going to say. Let me tell you what I told my good friend. Open your Bibles in the book of Genesis 18:25. Book of Genesis. I don't know if you have a smartphone with a Bible on it, and it's easy to do that. Genesis 18:25. In the book of Genesis here, let me give you the context of that, because for me, I guess it is important. Let me do something here, and please be kind with me, because yesterday I had to do this presentation or another presentation, but in Spanish. So I set up my Bible to put it in Spanish. So I'm beginning to set up here to put it right. And I am going to use, by the way, King James Version in all the presentation across all the week here. The Bible says here that Abraham, you remember the context? Abraham was concerned regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember the setting. And the Lord is bringing justice regarding that. And the Lord and Abraham keep talking. And in a moment, Abraham, after making a lot of questions to the Lord about what he is going to do and say, mentioned this in 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Think about it. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Because here is the point. The judge of all the earth is going to do right. So there is nothing family members can do anymore. There is nothing that we as human beings can do for that person anymore. That person and his, her destiny is in the hands of the Lord forever. And the Lord is going to do what is right. You believe that? I do believe that. So, if I'm going to say like some people, oh, don't worry, he's going to be saved, he's going to be in heaven. Well, that is beyond my understanding and knowledge, for sure. If I'm going to say the opposite, it is the same. It is the same. So, what is the right answer? Here. That is the right answer to the condition, because the destiny of that person, it is in the hands of the Lord. And the Lord is just, is love, and is faithful, and knows better than myself what he's going to do. That's the point here. So when we discern the topic, you know, it is quite interesting, because here we see God is the creator. He is the giver of the commandments. He is the judge and the lawgiver. And look, the book of Job, chapter 19, 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So he's Redeemer altogether. So when you begin to think about God, God is the essence of the concept of emunah, faith. And justification by faith cannot be justification by faith without God. Because without God is going to be anthropocentric, centered into the human being. In the other stand, justification is going to be theocentric, is centered into the Lord and his acts upon the human beings. And this is quite interesting, because in the Christian scriptures, distinguish Christianity of any other religious beliefs by the teaching of justification by faith. Because justification by faith is the answer of the pagans' questions, what must I do to be saved? How many times we need to answer that question? Several people are asking, what do I need to do to be saved? The point is that is a pagan question in the Bible. Let me show you that. When you go to the Bibles in the book of Acts, chapter 16, 29, 31, book of Acts, chapter 16, 29 through 31, you are going to see the question and the answer. And after that, we are going to enter into a long topic, and I'm sorry to tell you, you are going to be reading scriptures several times, because we are going to be working today in the rest of the presentation about the concept of faith in the Old Testament. And it's important, believe me, it's important. Because if at the end of the road you say, I am frustrated, I probably wouldn't have been here. Please tell me at the end, not at the beginning, but let's use our time building up our concept of faith here. If you have the text, the Bible says, then the keeper of the prison called for light and sprang in and came tremble and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That is the question. So what is the answer to the question? That is the question of a pagan person, heathen person, Gentile person that is not in relationship with the Lord, but, you know, thinking how we are going to please the gods of heaven. That's the mind of that person. Come to the Lord, come to the Apostle Paul, and they say, and they, Paul and Silas, together, said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Believe. So he appears behind the believe, King James Version, under the King James Version, in the Greek language, pisteuo, that is the belief. And beneath that is emuna, the Hebrew word for belief. So what is faith in the Bible? What is the meaning of faith? And it's important here. Why? Because in the Bible and in the concept of justification, the concept is that we are justified by faith. But we need to understand faith. What is faith? Is faith only belief? Is an intellectual connection between us and the world beyond? What is faith in the Bible? So keep the question, because the word believe in the New Testament is pistis, and probably tomorrow I'm going to use something to show the words here. And the concept means having faith, and you are going to trace several kind of expression, but I am going to focus a little bit of in the Old Testament on the concept of emunah. This is the Hebrew word in the Bible for faith. And let me give you a glimpse of several meanings of emunah in the Old Testament. You are going to find out that first is faithful, is faithfulness, is faithfully, is honestly, is truth, is being truthful, is responsibility, is stability, is steady, is trust, and already mentioned truth. So let's work out with several of the explanation regarding this, and probably the rest of my presentation is going to cover this. Let me explain to you what I did for giving that. I went to software, went to Accordance, looked for Emuna, and Emunah, Emuna. And of course, I put it in Hebrew and began to trace all the manifestations of Emuna, faith, of faithfulness in the Old Testament. And that is important. Why? Because sometimes the Bible and the Bible translations are not what I would say. Please don't believe that I am a corrector of all the heresies or heretic thinking or telling you that there are wrong versions or something like that. No, I am far from that. I am not believing that. Again, in the past I discussed with Eugene Nida about translations, and Eugene Nida used to be until what, maybe 1995 or 2000, was the head of translation in the biblical societies, and in those days, or my early days, there was one translation of the Bible in Spanish, and Seventh-day Adventist Church was invited to several presentations about that. And probably that were the times in which, you can dialogue a little bit regarding the meaning and the words. But let me share with you on that. I do not perform a sermon, not any sermon, without tracing the background of the words to the original languages. If it's a quotation of the Old Testament, I'm going to check that. If it's in the New Testament, I'm going to check that. Why? Because some people and some commentators, especially in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, are not working consistently with the words of the original language. And that is important for me. So let's take this moment to go to the Old Testament and to trace the words Emuna for your understanding. You agree with that? Okay, let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 17 and verse 12. I am selecting for your notes. The word Emuna appears in the Old Testament between 49-50 times. I will say 50 times, 49 verses. Because sometimes the verses, one verse is going to use two times the same word. You understand that. So, but that is important, because you are going to see that this word is critical in the concept of the understanding of this topic. And let me tell you, my perception is, to me, this concept helped me a lot in the understanding of the concept of faith. So let's go to Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. Do you have it? Who? Do you have it? Could you read it, please? Could you? Okay. Thank you. Okay, here appears, the first time appears here, the word Emuna in the Bible, faith. Where is the word? Well, let me tell you, is, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. That is the original word, for that is emunah. And here is translated not faith, not faithful, but steady. Steady. Yeah. That's interesting. So we are, the verse is Exodus 17:12, Exodus 17:12. Okay. And the second text is Deuteronomy chapter 32:4. And here again appears the word emunah, but under a different translation. So that's the reason why I hope that you might understand that that my purpose is not correcting versions of the Bible, just to bring light into the Hebrew concept of justification in the Old Testament. And the Bible says here, do you have it? You have it? You? Yes. Could you read that? Deuteronomy 32:4. Here, the word emunah, faith, appears again. But you say, where is the word? Here is truth. Here is truth. You start to discover the point of the presentation. So when we are beginning to grasp the original is going to illuminate and to bring light into our understanding of the vision and understanding of the people of faith in the Old Testament. Because emunah, first, is steady. In the second, is truth. Emunah, faith. So 1 Samuel 23:23. Here is easy. And you are going to say, well, here is a word. Here is the word. Do you have your Bible? Any one of you want to read it? Please. Thank you. You know, in my notes, I committed a mistake here. Because here appears the two critical words that we are going to be operating in the Old Testament. Appears righteousness, that is tzedakah, tzedak, tzedik, are the original words in the Hebrew, and his faithfulness, that is emunah. So, what is when you read the Bible, I hear the text says, the Lord, I am not changing what she said. I am King James Version here. So, the Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. Here is emunah, faithfulness. When you read this, something appears and make clicks in your minds immediately. This is my faithfulness, or the Bible is telling that this is something in the character or regarding the character of the Lord that is faithfulness. It's mine or is his? You're right. Is Lord's faithfulness. So this is something that you are going to begin to understand in the operation. The faith is not centered into my person. It's centered into the Lord. So the same that is given me, the faith, is the lawgiver, is the judge, and he is going to justify me. That is what you are going to begin to discover across the Bible in the Old Testament. And that is important. That is not anthropocentric. It's theocentric. It's Christocentric. It's centered into Christ. It's centered into the Lord because He is the right. It's quite interesting. When you go to the Old Testament, for example, let's visit another thing that is important, because probably at the beginning or closing the presentation, I'm going to open more a little bit my vision and understanding of this topic. Let's go to First Book of Chronicles. That is the section of the historical books. And you are going to discover new understanding here. I don't know if you, some of you might have New International Version or some of the new, more, I will say, more dynamic versions besides the King James Version. But whatever be your version, probably is going to surprise a little bit regarding that. This word is going to appear especially in 1 Chronicles 9:22-9:26. And you are going to see what is the point here. I don't know if you have 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22. Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22. Thank you. This is King James Version, isn't it? New King James Version. Okay, it's very close to the format. Please understand this. This is historical / sociological description here in the setting. It's telling you about who are the porters in the gates or who are, you know, the keepers of the gates. And there is some kind of statistical information and the importance of the studies in genealogy and so on. And finally saying whom David and Samuel, the seer, did ordain in their set office. What is the word, the original here? Emuna, faith. So you are widening a little bit the dimension here of what is faith in the Old Testament. Because something that is putting order and establish order and is made faithfully is emuna in the vision of the Hebrew. That's the reason why when you ask, for example, a rabbi, what is faith in the Old Testament? He's going to answer, well, it's emuna. And how do you define emuna in your language regarding the Bible? He's going to say, well, it's a very wide word in the Old Testament. So it is important that we understand that. Don't you share that view? Because it's going to widening, I will say, our understanding of justification by faith. Because it's going to correct some views that we have, and also it's going to explain several dynamics that are going to happen into the Old Testament and into the New Testament. Sometimes some people are discussing, especially in the theological circles, regarding if faith involves works or not. And you are going to see that this is a situation in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. You are going to discover that this is something that appears in the New Testament. Why? Because Jewish thinking is going to begin to share their own views regarding the Bible with the Greek thinking, and the Greek is more intellectual thinking, and the concepts of faith and righteousness are more are different center. They are centered into the laws and into the lawgiver of human beings. In the Old Testament, it's centered, it's judicial, but it's not anthropocentric. It's centered into the justice and into the laws of the Lord. And that changed everything regarding that. What I was trying to tell you or to say that revisiting the words of the conceptual words, I don't have. Is here? Where? Oh, I didn't see that. Okay. When you go to the Hebrew, that is in relationship with the Old Testament, and the Greek is in relationship with the New Testament. The concept of emuna, and I am translating here, and the concept of dikaios, and it's important that you connect this with this, because the concept of excuse me, I am correcting this. I am correcting. Forget this. I'm going to put this. Emuna is pistis in the New Testament, and the word of tzedak is going to be dikaios. You are going to see that here are related with the court. That is human center or men's center. And here is related with the concept of the law, but is centered in the Lord, in God. So that was I was trying to say, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult for me to grasp all the words and verbal regarding these things. If you go to theological dictionary of the New Testament and you search about pistos and dikaios, you are going to find out that dikaios is related with a court language in the Greeks. So that is men's center. The vision, you know. But in the Old Testament, the thing is that it's more centered into the Lord, into the character of the Lord. Because the Lord is the creator. The Lord is the lawgiver. The Lord is the judge. And the Lord is the redeemer. And the Lord is called also faithful in the Old Testament. And you are going to see that. I do have still some minutes here in the presentation that I would like to share with you to give you the picture of this in the Old Testament because it's important that you get that. Second Chronicle chapter 34 12. I've been working with this and here is the King James Version. Okay? Here is the King James Version. And here is the Hebrew.
Yeah. Okay.
And here is the and here is emuna. And here is faithfulness, but in this case is office. So when someone is doing or performing the office, faithfulness is emuna in the Hebrew. So an administrator has to reflect emuna because the Lord is given emuna to reflect. That is the concept in the Bible that I am trying. What? Accordance for Mac? Accordance for Mac. So for me, tomorrow probably what I'm going to do is to put that here in the screen or here, in order to avoid any misunderstanding. But sorry for that. So let's go now to, yeah, now is Second Chronicles 34, verse 12. 34, verse 12. Yes. Well, okay, here is a little bit easier to grasp the meaning, you know. Lina, take me a picture of this, because I probably am going to use it for the next things in the presentation. Second Chronicles 34, verse 12. You have it? Yes. And the men did the work faithfully. That is Emunah. You know, to whom belongs Emunah? To the Lord. And when we are doing right in our circle, we are reflecting God's Emunah. We are reflecting this God-centered concept of the faith. That is wonderful. That is wonderful here. Because you see this, and you watch about this, because says the Bible, and the overseers of them were this and this and this and this and this and this, and mention people and functions that were performing with faithfulness the duties. And that critical topic, it is important to understand the critical thing in which we are going to target, because in the Old Testament, the faithfulness is together with the tzedak, that is the justice. Is working together. Is like an operational work in together. So let's go to the Psalms. And this is going, I'm going to select some of them. Not many, but I'm going to select some of them. Psalms 33, verse 4. Psalms 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord, the Bible says, is right. And all his works are done in what? In truth. You can maybe use faithfully, and that is Emunah. That is Emunah. That is the concept. Again, watch the following psalm, that is 36, in which appears the word, of course. Psalms 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reach unto the clouds. I like very much that. This is going to see that even the creation of the Lord is reflecting that concept. That is very deep, really, when you think and reflect about that. For me, let me tell you, is enhancing my concept of faith, because it is a concept of faith that is not related or centered into human beings. It's centered into the Lord. And when we establish a close relationship with the Lord, we might be able to reflect his Emunah in our acts. That is the richness and the deepness of the topic. Psalms 37, verse 3. This is deeply spiritual, deeply powerful in my understanding, and it's another, you know, shade of the topic. Trust in the Lord and do good. 37, verse 3. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be feed. Emuna is here verily. You know, quite interesting. I recommend you, if you like, you know, to dig in order to see how the words, the original words, sometimes are reflecting. There is a verse, there is a Bible version, and that is a common understanding. It's public. It is Orthodox Jewish Bible. Orthodox Jewish Bible. And in the Orthodox Jewish Bible, it says, trust in Hashem. That is another word that, you know, the rabbis, when they reach the name of the Lord, they do not pronounce or read or write, because the Ketiv and Kere, let me explain this, Ketiv and Kere are rules of the Hebrew people, especially to write the name and to pronounce the name of the holy name of the Lord, that is Yahweh, you know, the tetragramma, the four letters, and they put Adonai, or they read Adonai every time that appears. So trust in Adonai and do tov, that means good. So shall thou dwell in Eretz, that is the earth, the land, and thou be pastured securely, that is emuna. I like very much that. That is profoundly spiritual in the meaning about that. And when you are going to discover that, let me tell you, our life is going to change a little bit, because you are going to understand the need to be close to the Lord, not to be in separation of the Lord and thinking that you are going to be emuna center about that, because without your relationship with the Lord, you cannot have it. And this is going to redraw a little bit the concept of justification by faith, by the way. Okay, I do have 5 minutes still, so that's good. Several psalms we might read, but let me go to certain words that I'm going to enter into that. Let's go to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, Jeremiah, and chapter 3, verse 23. You know that verse. Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 23. What the Bible says there? You have it? Start verse 22nd, because it's better. Great is thy faithfulness. You know the song, I guess. Thomas Chilton wrote this poem in 1923 about God's faithfulness. And that was the poem that William Runyon in Kansas began to work out the meaning of the song that we sing in the church from time to time. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Isn't that powerful? Great is thy faithfulness. It's not my faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness. The concept is God's center. It is centered into the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for coming.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.